I'm going to tell you a story today. It's a fun story. It's an incredible story. And it's a story that we should be living. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, I'm actually going to read through the whole chapter. I know it's hard to believe actually reading the Bible in church. I know you do that a lot around here. And I love it. Actually, as I've read through this and prepared, I cannot tell you how much I love actually it's reading through Scripture. It just amazes me. I don't know how many times I do it, but every time I do it with an expectant heart, God speaks. We're just coming off of the persecution that started with killing Stephen. In Acts 7, they've just killed Stephen. They've stoned him to death. So the reason I say that is if you just look at Acts chapter 8 and the first verse you read with no context, it really starts off kind of funny. And Saul approved of their killing him. That's the way the chapter starts. Kind of like, ooh, woo, there's a great way to start a verse. So you know that's what happened then. I'm going to go ahead and read through the whole thing. You're welcome to read through with me as I read. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Excuse me. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given, and I didn't say this at the start, but I encourage you, when you read Scripture, read it as if it was a movie going on. We're so visual in this day and age. Some of you are used to reading books. Actually, most of the people in this room are used to reading books. If I was speaking to a younger generation, they wouldn't have a clue. But they would be going, what, video? Oh, no, you're not even video, just DVD or your iPad or whatever. But picture it as it happens. That's what makes it really kind of exciting. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Bless you. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is the water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Now, some of you will have verse 37. My scriptures do not, because in many of the early, most of the earlier text, it was not there. Just so you know, that's why I'm skipping it. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What a story. So much is in there about what God was doing. And as we read it, I just want us to open our eyes to let the Holy Spirit speak to us about today. I don't know about you, but I see so many parallels to today and what is happening in the world today and what is needed in the world today. And one of the things that jumped out at me, jumped off the page. I don't know how many times I've read this, but we're doing a devotions. Our family does devotions as often as we can in the morning. And as I was reading through this, it just jumped. I don't know why. Again, that's the Holy Spirit. And so it kind of make it the focus of today's, or the emphasis of today's message. And it was in verse 30, if you want to go there. After the Spirit spoke to Philip, what did he do? He ran. He ran. When the Spirit spoke to him, he ran. He didn't contemplate. He didn't go, oh God, is that you? Oh, is that you speaking? He didn't wonder. He didn't hesitate. He didn't take baby steps. He ran. And that spoke so much to me in my life and my current situation and where I've been. So as I began to think and pray about it, came up with an acronym for RAN. That's the title of the message today, is RAN. And I hope to encourage you to RAN. Well, it's a little out of place, but we're going to make it work. That's right. He ran. First of all, he was responsive. He was responsive. Philip was then available. And then he was knowledgeable. And for those of you that are smart, I know you go, but what? But it has an N sound. And there is an N in the word. So it's going to work for me today. Will you allow that? Thank you. It fits. I was going N. I had so many N's. And then I go, no, because I think it applies more appropriately. Philip was responsive. Philip was responsive to what God had clearly said to all in this context. Jesus had given us the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. In Acts 1:8, then, he reiterated the commission. He said, wait into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and you'll be my witnesses. Where? Starting at Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and then unto the ends of the earth. So, we're starting this process. Now, some believe, and I am one of them, Jesus gave his great commission. It was go. And what did the apostles do? They stayed. They didn't go anywhere. They stayed in Jerusalem. Now again, and this is something that I've seen a lot of scholars look at, and I tend to side in this instance. Jesus said go, and they stayed. So there's a mechanism. It's either the go mechanism or the send mechanism. And if you are not willing to go, what did God allow? Persecution. Because in that persecution, then they were sent. And then you see it in history. It happens consistently. And I guess, and interestingly enough here, the apostles still stayed. Now, the argument can be made, they stayed for the establishment of the church, etc. I understand that. And the apostles did end up getting going. Most of them died outside of what we know as Israel. However, the warning is there. Folks, when God says go, He means go and make disciples. He doesn't mean sit around and let them come to you. They don't. It doesn't happen. And that's one of the things as I'm studying more missiology and what the church is doing. It's really a cool study, but it fits in with this, folks. When God says go, we're supposed to go. Or He may allow something a little uncomfortable to come into our lives to get us out there. So, for whatever reason, Philip went. He went, and he went to Samaria and Israel. This is from a commentary that I was studying. Israel had been divided into three main regions, Galilee in the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea in the south. The city of Samaria and the region of Samaria had been the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel in the days of the divided kingdom, before it was conquered by Sargon of Assyria in 722 BC. During that war, Sargon had taken many captives, leaving only the poorest people in the land and resettling it with foreigners. These foreigners had intermarried with the Jews who were left, and the mixed race became known as Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds and religious apostates by the pure Jews in the southern kingdom of Judah. And the two groups hated each other. Sound familiar at all? They hated each other because they were different. They're different than us. They look different. They talk different. They have a different culture. And we get it right and they're wrong. Guess who went to him, though? Jesus did, first of all. And he commanded his disciples to go. And Philip went. He responded. And this Philip is actually, he's not the apostle Philip, they believe. He was actually one of the seven men listed that actually was called upon in Acts to help distribute food in the Jerusalem church so the apostles could focus on the study of the Word. So now he decided it was time to get about the business of going. And he did. He takes the gospel into the city of Samaria. And this people were interested. They were very interesting. A very spiritual people. They were into sorcery, into witchcraft, into the supernatural, as we can see from Simon. Simon had quite the act going. He was the power of God. He was doing all sorts of supernaturally powerful things. And that's what Philip came into. That's what Philip came into. And it's interesting, it says, the effectiveness of Philip's ministry is highlighted here as crowds gathered and saw Philip perform miracles that authenticated the message. Evil spirits were cast out of people. Their screaming revealed their rage at encountering a power greater than their own. Demons are never pleased to be told to leave human dwellings, but they have no choice to submit to a higher authority. Philip also healed. As a result of the healings, deliverances, there was great joy in that city because real power came. It's called a power encounter. And it's happened throughout history where there is a power that's present. And this power happened to be demonic. And when the real power of God came along and confronted it, guess who won? God. He always does. But he had to have someone who was willing to say, you want to have a power encounter? Let's rumble. Not in a haughty way, but God, I'm here to bring a message of hope and forgiveness. The message that Simon had been bringing, it had miracles, but it was a fear. It was a demonic oppression. This was setting people free. And Philip stepped up and said, God, use me. Use me to heal. Use me to cast out demons. And people responded, so much so that even Simon, the guy who was doing it, responded. And it was so interesting in the commentaries I read. There's like volumes on, well, was Simon's conversion authentic? Well, I can't judge that. I know later on we see when Peter comes down, they laid their hands on, the Holy Spirit comes, and Simon says, I'll pay you money. We find out his heart was full of what? Bitterness? Bitterness. He wanted it, but it's because his heart was full of bitterness and sin. Even after he'd made confession of faith and had been water baptized, his heart was still full of bitterness and sin. So again, I think we need to just... number one, I need to make sure I look at my own heart and life. It's because you know what? I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Spirit. You know what? Every once in a while, I find popping up in my life a little bitterness, a little anger, a little jealousy. And you know, I need to, oh God, please, repent. Peter gave the perfect, repent of this wickedness. Oh, okay. I guess repentance is for today. It's for those of us who are followers of Christ when we see sin popping up. But Philip showed up and the power of God came and set people free. And that's happened throughout history. Follow the history of St. Patrick in Ireland. They were on a cool study. He did the same thing. He came in and had a power encounter with the spirits that were ruling that island. And guess who won? God. But we need to be willing. Do you think when you look at today's culture and you look at what is important and you look at what is emphasized, especially around this time of year, you notice what so many movies emphasize? Do you think maybe there's a need for a little bit of some power encounters to take place? God looking for people that are willing to simply be Philips. Stand up and say, you know what? These people need to hear a message of forgiveness. And they need to see real power. And are we willing to let God move through us? I want to be. I want to be. And I think part of what we're talking about is key as we get to it. But what about us? Are we responding to what God has already said? God has clearly said a lot of things. He's given us all a great commission. How are we fulfilling that? How are we doing? We all have to take a look. Are we responding to what us? Are we sharing with those who we may even consider our enemies? We live in volatile times. More and more Christians are considered intolerant, backwards, extremists. Have a conversation with somebody about what the institution of marriage means these days in the state of Washington and find out what happens. When you say, let's open the Bible and see what the Bible says. Even though we have those, and I know of ministers who are standing and contradicting the Scripture. And my heart, honestly, it breaks for them. It really does because of what they're stepping into. But are we willing to have conversations in love? Are we willing? As Christians, we tend to either want to do one of two things. Either strike back and those pagans, God, judge them. Yeah, we do. We've got this, because they hurt me. I'm just trying to live my life. Why won't they just let me live my life? Why won't they be tolerant of us? Or we want to strike them. But God says, love them. Serve them. Lay down your life. And let the power of God flow out. And watch what can happen. People did it for me. I don't know about your story, but that's how Jesus used people to bring me to Himself. They were willing to stand up against my ignorance and my spiteful hatred of God and stand firm. And God used that to draw me to Himself. I have just been to a conference, great conference. I'll tell you a little story about it later on. It's called Turnaround 2020. Some of the leading people in the North American church, those who do research as well as pastors, talking, 20 different leaders, got 20 minutes apiece, talking about how to turn around stagnating or declining churches. Churches that aren't growing or churches that are declining. incredible, incredible conference. And there were four things, four keys of growing churches that stood out. Those four things were: churches are growing. Churches are reaching their communities around them when, number one, they are growing out. They're focused on their community. They're focused on serving their community. They find the need that their community is looking for, and they go out and serve their community. They go out. Let me see. Hold on a sec. That sounds familiar. It sounds like go and make disciples. They go. They grow out. They grow small, which means they have small groups. They tend to focus on that smaller community because that's where real Christianity is lived. That's where that accountability, that love, that encouragement, sharing and knowing one another really happens. They grow learners, not just people that sit, but they learn about the Scripture. They study the Word of God. They read the Word of God. And they apply the Word of God. They have application. They have people that are coming in to learn and then go. They see themselves as much more like students in, like students who go to an institute or a college that actually want to be there to learn, to take that information and go and do something with it. Not just, oh, so I get a degree, but so I've got something to give. They grow learners. And then lastly, they grow new, which means they focus on what is called conversion growth, not transfer growth. Most growth of churches in the United States is people going from one church to the next. Already saved, already Christians, and they just go to wherever the biggest party is or the best show. Churches that are really growing and impacting are focusing on getting lost people found. And that's their passion. They're like Philip. They go to places where this message needs to be heard. They don't avoid it. They don't stay away. They don't insulate themselves within the four walls of their church. But they go out and give this message that is the most important message there is. That's one of the other things that was focused. Folks, you know what? This place you're sitting in, that you're a part of, this group of people, offers a message that can be found nowhere else. And that is, a life can be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. It's not just a good works society. And we see a lot of churches that tend to just focus on the social aspect of the gospel, which, although good, is incomplete. Because if you can't say, come to where I go and am a part, because not just will you feel warm and welcomed and accepted, but your life will change. You will be transformed. It's what happened to me. I can point before and after, and there was a radical difference. And I need to continue to focus on who He is, because guess what? I still need changing. Ask my family. They know. They know. Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, and I did bring today my iPad, yes. Here, I brought a picture of the gang. There they all are. This is when we were at Deception Pass boat tour. Although we have one of our daughters is missing from this, and I'll tell you about her in just a little bit. Many of you know her. But there they are. Great gang. You know, the only problem... Now, I don't know if it's a problem with iPads and with iPods and smartphones. You remember back in the day when you'd go somewhere and you'd meet someone and they'd say, oh, do you have a picture of your family? And you'd pull out your wallet and you had maybe three pictures. And they go, oh, that's nice. Guys, I could have you stuck here for the next 4 hours. I got movies of the family. I got 7 billion pictures of the family. And all of them have a story. That's one of the challenges with these things, is it makes it really difficult to get away. So if someone says, you want to see my family? Sure. And I've got an appointment. Oh, 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Nah, you have fun with it. But again, we need to love. We need to love and go. And it's interesting, we see Philip's obedience in this matter, going to Samaria. What does it prompt? It prompts an angelic visitation. Philip was faithful. His obedience to obey what God had said in the Great Commission showed he was faithful and could be trusted. And it'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Having an angel show up and give you directions? Tell you where to go next? I still have never seen an angel. My wife has. Anybody seen an angel? Or been aware of it? You've seen an angel? See, I never have. And I would love to. Because here, an angel shows up and says, here, I want you to go somewhere. And his response to the angel shows that he was available. He was responsive. He was available to be used to do what God has asked him to do specifically. So he obeyed generally. Now he is available to do what God speaks to him specifically. Go on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. The desert road is what it's translated. And it actually might be better translated a wilderness road. It was actually a fairly well taken care of road. Some say it was even paved in certain ways so that a chariot, the type that could be on it. But, so here he went from Samaria, which if you know, Samaria is kind of up here, and you come to Jerusalem, and then you go from Jerusalem and start going down here towards Gaza. So he came from up here, ended up coming down to that road. And while he's there, interestingly, the Holy Spirit now speaks. So he goes from an angel, to now it says the Holy Spirit. So somehow the Holy Spirit now speaks to him. And he's used to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. So he hears it, and it says to him, go and hang out by the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And one of the things that's so awesome to me is the way that God works. Because you see, God could have sent his angel to the eunuch. God could have done that. He could have sent the angel to the eunuch. That would have had a pretty impactive impact. He could have appeared to him in a dream. But instead, he took a guy who was having amazing effectiveness in a Samaritan ministry. Philip was being incredibly effective in Samaria. He was having a powerful ministry. And God said, you know what? That's great. Now, go. I'm going to pull you away from that, and I want you to reach out to a person from a completely different culture than either yours or the one you've been reaching out to. I want you to reach out to an Ethiopian. I think Philip had a chance if he wanted. He could have been a little bit, what? I mean, come on, God, I'm being really effective. I've already led how many hundreds of people to the Lord? A whole city's been led to the Lord through my ministry. God, lead, I need to be there. That's where I'm effective. But he didn't. He said, yes, Lord, I will go. Kind of the equivalent of Pastor Kev showing up saying, guess what, guys? God showed up and told me I'm supposed to go to Ethiopia. See ya. That's why I say, when you read the Bible, read it as a real story. It was real life. Lives were impacted. This is us today. Are we open to it? Are we willing to say when the Holy Spirit says, go, are we willing to say, okay, I'm going? It's difficult. We don't always understand why God is having us do or go through what we are going through. Most of you know my family's story over the last 3 years. We've gone through things I never would have chosen to go through. Still are going through things, especially in terms of our financial provision. I don't know where it's coming from on a regular basis. But God is faithful. And I'm learning things I couldn't have learned. We're learning things we never could have learned. And we've been involved with things that I don't know if I ever would have been. I'm involved in Oak Harbor with a sister city. We're starting a sister city program. It's an international program where a city chooses another city around the world to be able to then form relations and share cultures. I'm involved with that, working with the mayor of the city, getting to be good friends with the mayor of Oak Harbor, have been already, having an opportunity to do that. I'm involved with the Interfaith Coalition of Whidbey Island, which at this point is generally all Christian, but it's open to all faiths to come in and do good, do that social aspect. But I'm going into it with an attitude, you know what, I'm light and salt every place I go. My kids, two of my eldest daughter, Danielle and Triana, are teaching a Nordic dance class. They're of Nordic origin. They go to Nordic camps every summer. And now they're actually forming a group down in Coopville. Once a week they go and they get to teach Nordic dance. It's been really cool. We've also become involved with the foster care system. All simply because we're available. And I know all of you have stories, but I encourage you, continue to stay available, responsive and available. And here is where Philip is most amazing to me, as I said. When he spoke to him, he didn't hesitate at all. He didn't question. He didn't wonder. He simply ran. He said, go to that chariot. And Philip ran. I can just see it. I mean, that's, picture it though. There he is along there. And he's like, so, I don't know. Here it is. Okay, picture. I don't know how he heard, but he just heard. And then it was just, bam, I'm going. And this chariot was something else. It probably was a type of caravan sort of a thing, because this guy was the treasurer of a nation. So he was wealthy. He had an entourage, I'm sure. And he ran. This guy may have reacted poorly if he had a secret security detail. They may have tackled him. Who knows? But instead, he didn't care. He said, I've been spoken to by God. I'm going to run. I'm going to run. So many times I will stop and overthink everything. Is it the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just the donut I had this morning. I don't know. When you're here in worship, when we come before God and we say, God, speak to us. And you sense that, oh, maybe He's saying something. And we stop, well, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it's... And we, I don't know, maybe you guys don't do that. I do. I overthink it. I go, oh, I don't know, it could be this, it might be that. Well, what about this? I just don't know. Oh, should I go and see and talk to that person? And we just talk ourselves out of doing anything. Run! I challenge you, next time you sense that, run. Just do it. I can guarantee you have got a pastor here who he would rather have a lot of people running right away when he senses, they sense the Holy Spirit doing something, and maybe every once in a while having to go, whoa, as opposed to, God wants us running. If we want to see God move, be willing to step out and be the instrument He uses to move things. So many times we think about the bad, are afraid of what might happen, that might make us look bad. Instead, we should be focused on simply being obedient and knowing that whatever God brings to pass will be good. Because He does work all things together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. At the church I'm attending, Grace Community in Oak Harbor, our pastor is encouraging us in our small groups, and we've been walking it out, to expect and ask God to be prophetic in this context. Prophecy generally, not the office of a prophet, but job is generally that which is good for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You know what that is? That's going, man, it's great to see you here this morning. It is really a delight. You know what? God has put you on my heart, and asking God to say, God, please give me a scripture. Give me something to encourage my brothers and sisters. That's being prophetic. That's expecting the Holy Spirit in you to give you words of life. That's an aspect of prophet. We tend to make this, oh, the prophet. If I'm gonna come, let me see. Thus saith the Lord to thou, O mighty Son of the living God. A God can speak that way. I don't know if He really speaks in King James that much anymore. He can. not disregarding that, but it's just, we tend to do that and takes it away from the everyday person simply being able to say, you know, as I was praying for you, God gave me a scripture. And I pray that maybe it can help. As we've been doing that, it is amazing to watch simply being able to step out and share and you see tears because all of a sudden you're reading people's mail. And God gives you insight into their lives that only God could. And they are encouraged. They're so built up and grateful. I've had it done for me. For situations what I've been in that people have simply been willing to speak encouragement. And it's been such an encouragement to me. So I encourage you, ask, expect, and run. And run. Another story, as I said, this conference I went to, I've gone to it the last 2 years. And I actually helped put it on last year with the person that the Society for Church Consulting, of which I'm a member. And this year I was planning on, but then I got so busy, it got so crazy. And with our finances, I just didn't think it was going to work. So I finally, about a couple weeks before it started, I wrote the guy and he said, I don't think I can come. I get an email back from him, says, oh my gosh, Dave, I'd forgotten. But your email was an answer to prayer. We talked. He said, would you please come? He gave me this offer of what he would pay for me to come, and I kind of said, geez, and I checked with my wife. You know, my wife just kind of basically said, run with it. Good. And I said, yeah, yes, and so I did. And I was able to go, and I spent just this last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where the conference was. 180 people attending. I actually got to be the greeter. So I actually got to greet every single one of them as they came in. So I got to build relationship with some of the most incredible people in the kingdom of God right now and what God's doing. I built some great relationships that I know God can use in the future. And I don't know if any of you know of a gentleman named Elmer Towns. He is the co-founder of Liberty University. He founded it together with Jerry Falwell. And he's actually the dean of the Bible College there. It's the largest Christian university in the world. They have 4,000 students on campus, 80,000 worldwide. He has been involved in the church growth, understanding the movement for years. And I actually had the privilege of picking him up at the airport and taking him back out to the airport. He's just an incredible man. He's in his 70s, and he never planning on retiring. Never. He said that clearly. I have no clue. I'm just going to keep working. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm in the kingdom of God. My gosh, what else is there? And so I knew I was going to get him on the way back. So on the way out, I just felt, you know, I'm supposed to, I would like him to pray for me. But then, oh gosh, did I, you know, I think you don't ask this guy. He didn't want me. And I thought, hold on a sec. What have I just been reading about running? When the Holy Spirit gives me something, do it. So as we were driving out, I just said, you know, Dr. Towns, I would really, before we get to the airport and get real busy, would you please pray for me? Guess what he said? Sure.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just, you know what? People love to pray for one another. How many people have you said no when they've asked you to pray? No, absolutely not. I'm busy. I'm too important to pray for you. How foolish. And yet that's what we allow to go in our minds. These guys are so busy, they wouldn't want to do that. But asked. And God, he prayed a beautiful prayer. It's really neat. In fact, he prayed for PK. I shared with what PK was going through. And he prayed beautifully for him, too. So, it's simply being willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. So I just encourage you, you know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And with that, run. Run. Next, he runs up to the chariot. And then guess what? He let his brain kick in. He then was knowledgeable. He used what he had been given to accomplish what God gave him to do. He simply looked, he listened, and he responded. He saw and heard what the eunuch was reading. And hey, do you understand it? Not real difficult to do. I guess, no, who's he talking about? What an open door. God had set it up perfectly. But he was willing to be obedient and then open up his eyes, his ears, and his mind and say, okay, I'm here, God. What do you want me to do? And God opened the door for him. And he was able to sit down and share with them about who Jesus was. He used the abilities God had given to him, and guess what? A guy comes to faith. There's now an Ethiopian eunuch in heaven. Now. Because Philip was responsive, he was available, and he was knowledgeable. He just used his knowledge of Scripture to share Jesus. Also, another great encouragement for all of us to be reading Scripture. And studying Scripture. And knowing what Scripture says. Because we never know when it might be used to open up the door to heaven for someone else. How many times have I been able to bring a Scripture into a discussion I've been having simply because I know the Scripture? But if you don't know it, you can't ever do it. And folks, people really like, they're more open to talk about things than sometimes we imagine if we have perspective to bring. I know that most people don't have a clue what's in the Bible. They really don't. A lot of people, especially today, and of a younger generation, they just don't know. And so they're open to it if we're willing. My sister has been very spiritual her whole life. Lived down in Southern California, so you can understand what that means. And I have had the opportunity over the last few years to visit with her, share with her. And we've had some great discussions about Scripture, about Jesus. And last year when I was down there with her, she's had problems with her back and I was helping her move. And many of these discussions centered around the centrality of Christ, that He is the only way. And she was able to share with me that she was at an event, I think right before Thanksgiving. And at that event, she recognized, realized, and accepted that Jesus is the only way. And so after 30 years of prayer, 30 years of love, she loves to be, and even before that, I've always her spiritual mentor. And I love and respect that. She's really been very, very honest, but she always loved to have Bible study with me. Was very open to do that. Because a lot of times people, they're all in process. They're in a journey. Be willing to step into their journey where they are. And respect them. Maybe they don't agree with that. That's okay. That's okay. It's not your business to convert them. It's the Holy Spirit. Yours is to love them, to step in, respect, and appreciate where they are at. And then be willing to be salt, to be light, to know Scripture, to be able to bring a perspective with compassion, with respect and understanding to allow the seed to be planted, to be watered, and to grow. My wife's one of the greatest examples of this. Just happened a couple days. She heard a friend of hers that she's known for a long time but hasn't talked to. When we lived in Moscow, we knew them. And they're a member of their family, I believe, an adopted brother of this person, their four-year-old child, either four-year-old or, I think, no, actually four-month-old baby, passed away suddenly. They don't know why. And so she picked up the phone right away, responded to the Holy Spirit, called her, shared with her. And I have a very good friend that I work for. He owns Woodby Memorial Funeral and Cremation in Oak Harbor. His name's Paul Cusina. I've had the privilege of working part-time for him over the last couple of years. I've learned so much about ministry from him. He loves the Lord, and he's one of the greatest people that I know. And incredibly, this is a ministry for him. And his family, they had two young babies pass away unexpectedly. And so my wife, knowing that, contacted him, and now he's in touch with his family. So here's a man full of the love of Jesus being able to share and minister to this family going through one of the most painful times and statistically one of the most times that people are open to hear about Jesus Christ. The perfect person. Because she was willing to right away just pick up a phone and say, "Hey, I love you, I care about you, and I want to help." And we can all do that. We can all do that. The key to this whole passage, this whole concept we're talking about, is an openness and obedience to the Holy Spirit. So that when He speaks to us, we run. And it can be said of us that we ran, that we were responsive, available, and we used the knowledge God had given to us. And lastly, and some of you know this, some of you may not, my daughters are involved in an online school. And as part of that school, they have outreach and contact with a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures. And my eldest daughter became friends, contacts with a young Muslim girl. And they had some very interesting and heated discussions about the difference between Islam and Christianity. Most of the time it stayed respectful, but it's amazing, and I have learned that generation, they tend to be able to kind of go at it a little bit more and still be friends. I don't know, we tend to get offended if somebody disagrees at times. But they just go at it and then still be okay with one another. That's cool. I think it's great because they can have really good discussion. Well, over the course of time, this young lady, through contact, my daughter realized something was going on that needed to be brought to the light. And so she prayed, she talked to us, and it got brought to the light. It so happened that it caused a situation to arise in this young girl's life that she had to go into the foster care system. And the foster care system asked us, would you be willing to be an emergency placement? And to the incredible honor of my family and my girls and my wife in the situation we were in, all of my girls, we prayed about it, my wife, and instantaneously said, yes, we would be happy to do that. So from the time this happened to the time that she was placed in our home was 1 week, which if you know the foster care system, it's pretty speedy. She was of a different faith. And so we responded. We were responsive. We were available. And now we simply used our knowledge. And we loved. We didn't pressure. We simply cared for her. She was in a situation where she needed to be loved. Her name is Sunny. And so over the course of time, we built relationship. It was challenging. But she just lived among us and saw what our family was like as we lived and followed Jesus. And yes, she even saw us fight. Yeah. And because guess what? Our girls weren't perfect. I know it's hard to believe. And I wasn't perfect. My wife wasn't perfect. But we followed Jesus and had discussions as God brought up the different things, but didn't pressure or put anything on. She would come to church with us. She would then worship her way and do the things. Well, finally, about halfway through the summer, there came a point where she was given an opportunity to go to a camp that our church was putting on with our girls. And we said, absolutely. And we explained that to the pastors, who she was, what was going on. And we prayed, and God bless her with expectancy. Well, when she came back, she shared with us that when she was there, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and she saw and understood that Jesus is her Savior, that Jesus is the only way, and she gave her life to Him. And she has become a follower of Christ. And if you know anything about that, there's a cost. There's a cost. And yet she's one of the most passionate, she's a passionate worshiper. She loves Jesus. She's a guitar. She's got a guitar. She plays guitar too. She's learning to worship. She's learning what this is. It's not perfect by any means. You know what? Love is difficult. You ever found that? Real love is tough. It's not sanitized, but it's love, and it sticks, and it continues to love, and it continues to forgive. And when bitterness pops up, it's repented of. When anger, jealousy pops up, it's recognized and repented of. And love then flows. And so, simply by being responsive, available, and using the knowledge God has given us, hey, another person gets to enter heaven and live. And she is passionate and wants to share about Jesus with those of her culture because she wants to go. She wants to run. She wants to be a Philip. God wants us all to simply respond, to be available, and to use what He's given us. And the cool thing is about this story, it doesn't end there. Because we see the baptism takes place. The eunuchs, they say, you know, can we do it? They go down, they get baptized. And then it says, and the Spirit caught, as they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit caught Philip away. The word there is harpazo. It's the same word that talks about when being caught away to meet the Lord in the air. The supernatural transportation method. I just thought, how cool. And we find that he's in Azotus, which is 20 miles away, approximately 20 miles away from where he had been. So in an instant, God takes him from the water. Boom! Now he's in another city, and what does he do? He starts preaching. Boy, I tell you what, after just having on Sunday night taken a red eye from Seattle to Dallas-Fort Worth to Nashville and then spending all day traveling on Wednesday, I don't like air travel. Oh, I can't. I love being places. So I'm going, okay, God, I see what you did with Philip. This would be so much easier. I just love, and I've heard stories, especially in the 70s and 80s, when the Soviet Union was still the Soviet Union, of pastors here in the United States that would be taken, the word is harpazoed in the middle of the night and dumped somewhere in one of the cities in the Soviet Union, and it would be daytime there. They would preach, and then God would take them back at the end. He's still doing these things. Why not with you? Why not with me? If we're simply willing to be responsive, available, and use the knowledge God has given us, He can do whatever He wants to. And it gets kind of exciting. And then we hear Philip went and preached until he got to Caesarea. And then we find about 20 years later in the book of Acts, Acts 21, we hear of him again. Philip the evangelist, 20 years later, still living in Caesarea, evangelizing, and he has four virgin daughters who are all prophetesses. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of cool. I'll hang on to that one. Considering that's what I've got now, three daughters of my own plus Sunny as a foster daughter. God really wants to see incredible things happen. And I'd like you to just take a minute, if you would. As I've been talking, I believe that there's been something, some area, some situation, family, work, relationships, whatever, that maybe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about or showing you an area. If not, I'd love you to just take a minute and think of one. Think of something, somewhere, somehow. Maybe it's, you know, I'd love to step out in the gifts of prophecy or song of the Lord or whatever. Or I've got a family member that I want to share with or someone at work. And I'd like you to just get that in your head, that particular situation. Has everybody got something? Then what I'd like you to do is, together with me, as if you were in a movie theater and this scene is up on a screen, just picture that, a scene of talking to this person or being there. Whatever it is that you're doing, I want you to literally visualize you there. Picture what the surroundings are. Picture what's going on. Picture how it's happening and what it is that you're responding to, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and that you are available to use and to do whatever He's called you to do. And then using in that situation the knowledge that He's given to you. And then as you watch it, then just take the next step and actually step in and become a part of that scene, become a part of that movie where you're actually there doing it. And speak whatever words it is, whatever words God gives you, or do whatever you sense God calling you to do. And then see that person or that situation respond positively for the kingdom of God. Picture God moving. Picture obedience. There's something so cool, and one of the reasons I love to do this is because studies have been done that when you imagine something, neurons fire in your head. They're called mirror neurons. And they're actually what happens. Best example is if someone's shooting a basket, and they actually are shooting the basket, and they're doing it time and time again, practicing it. Mirror neurons fire that actually form pathways for your brain and for your physiology to actually do it the right way. Studies have shown that when you simply close your eyes and imagine it, 97% of the same neurons fire. Exactly the same thing happens when you simply imagine it. You wonder why God said to meditate upon Him, to think about Him? So many times we think about the wrong things and we let the wrong pathway develop. I can't do that. I just can't be that. I can't. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our brains, to imagine and picture us being responsive to the Holy Spirit, stepping out, seeing people respond positively, letting the Holy Spirit move through us in power to cast demons out and see healing take place, and we allow our minds to actually do it, guess what? Those neurons are firing and building a pathway for faith to move through. I don't know about you, but that's a pathway I want developed. I would love to see God doing more in and through me than He is right now. But it takes time. And so I encourage you, do that. And as you've done that, then see God doing miraculous things and give it to Him. And say, God, I give you the glory in advance for what you're going to do. And with that, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share. I'm looking at a group of people that I can't imagine what God can do through. No idea. Because you know what? The cool thing about the Great Commission, you know the coolest thing about it? There's no age limit on it. God said, go and make disciples. And He said it to everyone in this room just as clearly as He said it when He first spoke it. Now the question is, are we willing to respond? Are we willing to be available and then simply use our knowledge? I'm going to believe you are, and I'm going to pray for you right now to see that happen. Lord, I thank you. What an incredible privilege it is to be yours. What an incredible opportunity we all have to honor you in and through simply responding to what you've already spoken, being available when you speak to us specifically, because I know you want to. And then using the knowledge you have given us to be salt and to be light. And we trust you for the incredible results. God, use us to perform what we see Philip doing. Because he was nothing special. He was simply a guy that said yes to you. And all of us have that same ability. And I pray your blessing upon each one here to go and do that. And I'm looking forward to the exciting things that are going to happen because we simply say yes to you. In your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, guys, thanks again. As always, incredible privilege to come and be with you. I love it. I wish the fam could have been here, but they're all getting old enough that they all have things they do. Amazing how people get older and they all of a sudden start having their own lives. Gosh. Some of you have faced that much more than I, and I know my days are coming. But it's great to be here. Please do keep Pastors Kevin, Carl, and Sherry in your prayers. I think they're coming back tonight. I think they're probably on their way across. I'm not 100% sure. Pray for Pastor Kevin's dogs because I've been taking care of them. And pray for me. I love those. But yeah, well, we won't go there. Love you guys. Have a fantastic week. And please, please, if I can ever be praying for you or you want anything, discuss. Don't ever hesitate to let me know. Give me a call. I'm more than willing to. It's my privilege and pleasure. God bless. Have a fantastic week. Woo!